up, everybody? Welcome back into the Sorry to Interrupt podcast. Tom, party like it's 2022. The Masters is done, and Scottie Scheffler's wearing the green jacket again in an absolute masterclass of a performance. A lot to talk about, but, I mean, man, if there was ever a deserving champion, this is one right here.
Yeah, I can't really remember any big long putts that he had to take just because he hit it so goddamn close. He could just tap pretty much everything in.
That's exactly what it was. I mean, and the putts that he did have to make that were a little bit higher degree of difficulty, he just looked so much more comfortable landing them. Maybe it was where he was on the leaderboard and how many strokes ahead. Maybe it was where the rest of the game was, but he just had it all dialed in, man. He's a truly unstoppable force at this point.
Yeah, I mean, again, if he could just putt average, which is pretty much what he did this week, everything else is going to be there. He was just so tough, making every single shot that mattered. Even when he made a mistake, again, he didn't compile them. I mean, it was truly a masterclass this week, especially with the it doesn't matter. Tough weather, he's a mutter, he's a guy that can play in the wind, he can play in perfect conditions. He's the most consistent best player we've seen since the Big Cat himself.
Absolutely true. And, you know, Augusta National really did its job this week. It was a brutal undertaking. And we saw some really good golf, but we also saw some really tough golf and some really brutal shots from the game's best. And the leaderboard here all the way down, you know, particularly when we get to Ludwig and Tommy and Colin and Max. But, dude, it's like – it's almost like Scotty's playing a different sport than the rest of it because everyone else was pretty good. I mean, minus seven is sometimes good enough to win, especially when the conditions were what they were this weekend. But, I mean, 11 under, given everything, is truly remarkable.
Yeah, I mean, we can't go out and say we had a nice debate yesterday about Max going out and grabbing it and a few others where, you know, you got to go after those putts. We can't even debate that. Scotty won this tournament pretty much wire to wire. I know that Bryson was hanging around and had the lead after a certain amount of holes and whatnot, but it just feels like it was inevitable.
Yeah, it was a Scottie Scheffler coronation. And by the time we hit the back nine today, that's exactly the direction we were going. Because, again, he doesn't compound any mistakes. And the very, very few that he makes, you know he's going to come back with a couple of shots that literally nobody else can do. So it's we're watching one of the greatest runs. I mean, we can talk about what it means in historical context with the 2 and the 3 years. But, Tom, he's now won 3 of his last 4 tournaments that he's participated in. And last week he lost to Valero only by the skin of his ass. I mean, he easily could have won that one too, and
because he missed the play, because he missed the putt. Yeah. Imagine he started to figure out how to putt like Tiger. If he could putt like him, he'd actually might be better. That's crazy to say, but I mean, for me now, this puts Scotty in a different stratosphere. Now I have to see him win outside of Augusta, crazy to say, but I need to see him get another major under his belt, and then we'll start talking career Grand Slam, and he'll move up to that next tier of GOATs after that. But he has definitely entered another tier now with the Brooks, with the Spieth, with the Rory, with a John Rahm, a few others that I haven't mentioned that have multiple majors. And then he's also just feels like right now he's levitating above them because he's doing it in such a dominant fashion. It's not one hot week. It's a hot couple of years here.
No, you're 100% right. That's well said. The level of dominance is what makes it feel a little bit different than even the other past multiple time winners who, you know, no knock on them whatsoever, but they squeak out a performance or they need someone to collapse ahead of them. There's none of that factoring in with Scotty. He's just going out and grabbing these tournaments by the balls. And when he plays the way he does, I mean, he literally looks unflappable out there. Like I said in a tweet, I don't think he broke a sweat this entire tournament.
Yeah. I mean, and I guess Will said Peach should be the new Sunday Red. Tiger's got, what, 14 majors, something like that? So let's pump the brakes on that, but I could see it happening if he keeps playing like this. Like I said, we just need to see him do it in the other majors. The Grand Slam is still alive, believe it or not, for this year. What else did you see down the leaderboard?
Yeah, I mean, I think Ludvig's performance has to be brought up second. He was incredible. And I know he hit that one into the water and, you know, had a couple miscues here and there. But overall, I thought he played an exceptional round of golf. I mean, he shot a 69 today at only 21 years old. I mean, Nance was talking about it at the end. I think this guy's going to be in our lives for a really long time because he doesn't have many flaws.
Yeah, I don't think he really has any flaws for him. It's just consistency and staying focused sometimes. I think like his Scandinavian friend Hogard, he can go a little too fast and get ahead of himself. You saw that a couple of times and it cost him with some mistakes, but then he's just so damn good that he gets them all back. This podcast, we have been pro Ludvig basically since he was still at Texas Tech, but now the world is finding out about Mr. Åberg, and he is so handsome as well.
Oh, he is. Yeah, you were definitely talking that up on your Twitter. That was appreciated. I hope he saw it. Yeah,
I was trying to hook him up. He's dating a beautiful tennis star. I was showing my future sister-in-law a picture of him, but unfortunately, he's not single.
No, he's not. He's going to be around for a long time, man. I mean, he's an exceptional player, and I think
for
he's
all
gonna
these
take
people hold. That are shitting on him for not being that young, it's like the guy took a different route to the pros. He's from fucking Scandinavia, where golf isn't that popular, so he can't just run up the leaderboards as if he's from the UK or the US.
Right. I don't understand why anybody would want to use that as a knock, but hey, whatever. I think when you're looking at what he could be, he's going to take a lot from this weekend and it's only going to make him better. Whereas, you know, Colin, obviously I've taken a lot of slings and arrows for my prediction from Wednesday, and rightfully so. I feel like an idiot, but he was not coming into this tournament playing good golf, and he even said it with Amanda afterwards. So maybe this is the turning point that we're looking for. He's a 2-time major winner. Maybe he goes and grabs another one this year. But I
think
overall,
interesting. I would have been awesome to see if he could go out and get this one. Then he'd be one away from a Grand Slam with the chance to win it this year. For Morikawa, like you said, he didn't come in peak form, but that also happened a couple of years ago. He made an equipment change just like this one right before he went out and won the Open Championship. So, I mean, maybe he's just a tinker and that just gives him the confidence that he needs. I don't know. I think he's going to be one of these guys that's up and down for his entire career. I don't know if he's going to be one of the steady Eddies like Scheffler, but I'm all for it. He's such a class iron player. I'm all for it when he is playing well.
Yeah, he hit some remarkable shots this weekend and definitely showed you why he was a 2-time major winner. And he's still really young, too. And you hope the roller coaster isn't too extreme where he's missing cut lines and all that, or he's out of our lives for a while. But if he could just play his standard of golf a little bit more on a regular, he's going to be in every single tournament.
No doubt about it. Moving down the leaderboard. I mean, we don't really have to talk much about Max. It's just we need to continue the maturation. It's starting a little later for him than others, but you go from, you know, we've chronicled it before where you go from losing your tour card to then becoming a 1-time winner and then ripping off what seemed like 5 pretty quickly and winning some big boy tournaments. And now it's, we've got a top 10 in a major at the Open. And then just to follow that up, we've got a top 3 at the Masters. So let's just keep moving in the right direction. He is one of the most consistent players in golf. There is no weaknesses in his game. So for me, it's just stay focused and stay patient throughout these rounds. Like he did this one. Just Scotty just is on a heater right now.
Yeah, couldn't agree with you more. I mean, he shot a 73 in his last 2 rounds, right? And that's not going to be good enough when you're playing against somebody like a Scottie Scheffler. But in his first 2 rounds, a 67 and a 71, respectively, obviously finished round 1 on Friday morning. I took a lot of positives out of Max's performance. There's nothing about this that's negative to me. Like I said on the pod during our debate last night, I would have liked to have seen him be a little bit more aggressive at times. But he had a strategy. And you know what? In a lot of cases, he played well enough where maybe he didn't win, but he was going to be right there in the back 9 in the conversation. Again, you're just facing an immovable object like Scottie Scheffler. Just playing really good golf for 4 rounds is not going to be enough to win.
No, and that's, again, the quandary of Augusta where, you know, you try and get aggressive and you end up getting a triple. But you're right. When you're playing against a guy like Scottie, sometimes you do have to press a little bit. It's just you have to press, but you have to be perfect at the same time. It's so difficult.
Yeah, and Colin spoke about it too. He said, I got greedy and a couple times, and he did. But mm-hmm. I think he knew what was at stake. He couldn't just continue to play conservative and safe. He had to make a couple – he had to kind of make the tournament his. And listen, he messed up a little bit. It's kind of like that quarterback that has to throw the ball deep or throw the ball 55 times in order to win because you're playing up against Patrick Mahomes or something. Playing really well just is not going to get the job done sometimes, right? And right now, the way that Scottie's playing, he is in that greatness mode right now.
Well, yeah, you saw it. I mean, his mistakes. You saw Colin in the pine straw a lot today. You saw Max a little bit too. Scottie's mistakes were never that large. I mean, we saw him go in the water once this week. He was shocked that it went in. Everybody was having trouble with the wind on that hole. But aside from that, it's like even Scottie's mistakes were just like, okay, so he didn't hit it to 10 feet. Like he just has to use an extra stroke here, not risking triple. Everything was just, all of his chips were so good, especially the one on the 18th. There was no doubt about it. Unlike his last Masters where he had to four putt, he just went in there and took care of business. It was incredible golf to watch. Moving down the leaderboard, Cam Smith. I said he was going to make a little noise today. He played a really good round in the red numbers. Bryson fought, but like I said, boys, he has no chance to win.
Yeah, you were right on that. You were right on that. I didn't think he would collapse the way he did, but hey, listen.
Had a great opening round, shot a 65, but then, you know, you're in the green numbers the other three rounds. That's not going to be good.
No, it's not. Willie Z had a really good round today, shot a 69.
I'll take it.
Waited for end the tournament. Yep.
I would take that. Yeah, I mean, I guess I can, you know, segue us real quickly. We'll recap it again tomorrow more in depth into our picks. I mean, listen, off the rip, none of my picks missed the cut. So I'm just going to go ahead and say that to start. Will, I think Will's going to go ahead and beat your ass this week. Oh, no, wait a minute. Will did not put Max in his foursome. I thought he did, which is going to change things significantly. He did have Xander in there, though, so I don't know what the numbers are, but I got a feeling it's going to be me one, Will two, and you in a distant third.
I would be absolutely stunned if it wasn't that order. Yeah.
Well, then I'm just bad at math, I think.
I got my ass beat. Yeah, this was horrible.
That's okay. You got a bunch of tournaments and three more majors, thankfully, to make it up this year.
I do, and we'll see if I can. This was not a good start, but hey, listen, I'm going to take a lot from this week. I'm going to learn. I'm going to assess where I'm at, and I'm going to try to just get better for Valhalla.
I like that. Yeah, I am really looking forward to Valhalla. Tiger has pretty much said that he's going to be playing in all of them. Although, Sean, I do think your prediction from last night, I don't know how many more years we're going to see Tiger playing in all these majors. I think at some point it's going to be go all in on this Sunday Red thing, grow this brand, and just focus on Augusta. I don't know what year that comes, but I think you're totally right on that prediction.
Yeah, it feels like that's just the direction. And that's okay. Again, it's awesome any time that we get Tiger in our lives for 4 days. So if Augusta is the one he's gonna pencil into the calendar every year, that's fine with me. It would be very cool to see him go across the pond maybe again. But that's a really tough proposition for a guy who's been through as much physically as he has.
Do you agree with me that the next step for Scottie is winning another one of the three in order to put him in that next tier?
It's so hard because the way he's right now, you try not to be a prisoner of the moment, but I don't think he has anything to prove. But as we get a little bit more distance from this tournament, I probably would lean towards agreeing with you. You know, go out and capture a U.S. Open. Go out and capture.
I know I'm being a little forward here since he just dropped the final putt about 45 minutes ago, but I'm just looking ahead.
No, I know you are, and it's a good question because we are in prisoners at the moment. I mean, he's won two of the last three majors. Like I said, he's won three of his last four events. He's a back-to-back TPC champion. I mean, which I know is not a major, but it's damn close. He's done everything that we've asked him to do, and he seems to have shed the problem of the putter because obviously that was a nightmare for about a year. So if he's doing that, I mean, he's got to be favored in almost all of these events, right?
Oh, I think he'll absolutely be favored. It's just a matter of whether or not if he gets another one this year. I think the way he's playing, I think any major is attainable, no doubt.
How do you feel about Rahm going forward the rest of this year and Brooks as well? Those were two guys that I kind of was thinking about today.
Brooks hung around. Brooks, I don't ever worry about. I don't really think anything outside of injuries is going to stop that guy in the majors. I just think Scotty was not going to get beat this week, and he was a little bit off. And I feel like when you play at Augusta, if you're a little bit off and you miss by a little bit, that is huge, especially at this course. But he still had his game. He still was able to finish. Where did he finish? I think he finished at even par, right?
I got to go down this leaderboard here.
Brooks. Was I wrong? This is very good podcasting by us.
Oh, it's phenomenal.
I hate the John Rahm finished 45th, and he finished.
Yeah, John Rahm was really bad.
I'm going to just Google Brooks's name here.
Yeah, he's way down this leaderboard. I mean, because I'm
we're blind.
I'm nowhere. No, I'm nowhere near it. Because I'm looking at guys. Oh, here we go. He tied 45th.
Okay, so him and Rahm are the same. But for me, it was just like I feel like Brooks was a lot closer and then he just kind of let it go today. Rahm, I don't know if he's got it in him to play. I feel like Rahm's got to have the juice. He's got to be in the mix every week. And this like flying in once every month and a half to play the biggest tournament of biggest four tournaments of the year is just Rahm's just not built for that, I feel like. But again, it's 1 week. We're going to have to see if he can go out and get a PGA or defend a not defend his U.S. Open title, but get another one. We'll see. We got three more.
Yeah, we do. I didn't like what I was hearing from Rahm this weekend, though. A lot of complaining about the conditions and whether they should have even been playing on Friday. Seemed to have been really battling with the course. Seems to really be battling with some of his compadres on the LIV tour, and he said he was not well received by some of his friends on the PGA tour, and some people he thought that were going to be a little cold to him were great, and a couple things like that. So and vice versa. I don't know. He was very chatty this weekend about a bunch of different things. So I hope that in this exchange of the green jacket, he does some thinking. And you know, my guess is, like I told you, I think he believed when he made the decision to go to LIV that the merger was inevitable and going to happen basically overnight. And the fact that it hasn't happened yet and we don't have any details on when it will, I think has pissed him off a lot.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. For me, I just revert back to, you took the money, stop being a baby about it. Just
I hear you.
Carry yourself like Brooks or like Dustin, where it's like, you know, you knew the consequences, you took the money, and now just own it. Just carry yourself the way those two do.
And he runs a little hot sometimes anyway.
Sure he does. And it's more, for me, I think it's more of a projecting, where it's like he's pissed off at himself, but he's just blaming everything else. Some people, that's their process. A couple more shout-outs I want to give on the leaderboard, though. Tom Kim, big 66 today. Shout-out to Will's boy. And then Minwoo with a 69 today, finishing 22nd in his first Masters. Felt like I saw a lot of shit talking across the Twitterverse the first 2 days. And you know what? There's a lot of rookies out there, and he finished fucking 22nd. So you can fucking suck his ass. Okay?
As for Rory, I mean, again, just not good enough.
That's all I'm going to say is psh.
Gotcha.
That's what I have for him. How's your boy Patrick Cantlay doing? 22nd. Enjoy that check, you fuck.
And you know he will.
I know he will. Matsuyama, not a great week.
No.
Fox really fell out of it. Phil at 43rd. I mean, hey, he made the cut.
Good for him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Didn't see much of him this weekend.
Did not see much of him at all. That's really all I got for the leaderboard. Shipley looked like he had a lot of fun with Tiger today. I watched a majority of that round. I mean, an amazing Masters. Great way to start off the major season. I'm just hoping that the weather for all 4 days for the next three majors is more cooperative as the summer goes on. But it was still an incredible week and a great week for the Sorry to Interrupt boys.
It really was. I had a lot of fun doing these reactions. Before we get out of here, what were your overall takeaways from Augusta National this weekend? And also, I just want to give a great shout out to how CBS handled Vern Lundquist's final Masters. Nance.
Shout out Tiger, class act.
Yeah, Nance sending it over to him for him to sign off one final time. That was just very classy. That was just really well done.
It was really well done. All I get from the majors is that eventually Sorry Sports is going to have to make their way down there, make a voyage.
Oh, I'm ready for it. I want to try one of those peach ice cream sandwiches.
I want to try 10 one. Of everything and still be able to walk out of there a rich man. For my numbers, because it's so cheap. And I want to make a phone call from one of those phones.
Yeah, leave one of those great voicemails like Sally did.
Exactly. That would be great.
Final question. Fast, what did you think of the course? What did you think of how everything was handled this weekend?
I mean, given the conditions, I thought that they did a really good job. I mean, it's Augusta. It's going to be top-notch. With those conditions, they did the best that anybody in the world could. And that course is just, again, the closest thing to perfection that you can find.
Yep. And you know what? It challenged everybody. It was a motherfucker at times, not just with the wind, but just the way that it challenges you and really forces it. I think it does the best job every single year of making a winner feel deserving,
mm-hmm.
because
and
you
think
truly
it,
have to do lame. Like you have to do just,
I think it's every facet of your game. The long irons are coming out of the bag, the chipping game, you know, obviously the putting, you got to be able to hit a driver to certain positions. You got to know when to go. You got to know when to hold back. It's one of the best designed golf courses ever.
It is, no doubt about it, man. Any final thoughts?
Yeah. I'm going to ask you right now, early prediction, who wins the PGA Championship at Valhalla?
I gotta have to do some thinking right now. I mean, I'd be stupid to not take Scotty. So I'm gonna take Scotty.
Yeah, I'll go ahead and say Scotty's gonna get the W. Although Brooks is gonna give him a run for his money, I'm just gonna keep saying it.
Yeah, and hey, you know what? Let's see what Ludvig does.
Yep, exactly. We found a new star, and he's very handsome.
Very, very handsome.
All right, everybody, we're going to be back for our 8th day in a row tomorrow with a Monday rundown. So get some sleep, and we'll talk to everybody tomorrow.
Take care, everybody. Have a great night.